31. Jody.
What are you doing, Whiskers? Sarah von Starchator asked as she came over to where I had been just one glorious moment ago, working in relative peace. Did you really just call me Whiskers? I asked as I looked up from the scavenged drone I'd been dicking with for the last 40 minutes. The good news was that I'd managed to find a way to open the access panel and look inside. The bad news was that it had taken me 38 minutes. The worst news was that I had no idea what anything inside the weird plasteel shell of the robot was. Yes, Sarah von Starchator nodded once. Well, it wasn't a nod so much as a weird head bob that translated to the same thing. Because you have whiskers. She touched her face with one claw. Like one of my pets back home. She reached out like she'd have touched me but stopped. She had similar coloring to you. Great, so you're a crazy cat lady. I blew a lock of hair out of my face and dropped my sonic spanodriver into my lap. It was obvious that to understand anything about this damned robot I'd taken apart, I need peace and quiet. And that wasn't happening now. You are dodging my question. Sarah von Starchator put her claws on her hips and loomed over me like she was trying to see what I was doing. Why have you pried the access port to that nano drone open? She peered at me. And why are you poking around in there? Then her stupid dinosaur eyes got huge. Are you trying to figure out how it works? She didn't wait for a response. Instead, she threw back her head and laughed like a squawking chicken. That's hilarious. She wiped the tears from her eyes. To think that you could figure out how a quantum drive works by poking at it with a stick of metal. She snorted as she doubled over laughing. That's rich. You know, I'm starting to think that I should stab you with my stick of metal and look at your insides, I growled. Then, because I felt myself getting feisty, I took a swig from my flask before offering it to Sarah. Want some? Sure, she said as she took the flask from me, eyed it carefully and then took a swig. At that point, her face got a weird tint. Is this soup? Yes, I nodded. Did you think I'd share my alcohol with you? I raised an eyebrow at her. We're not that good of friends. Besides, that goes in my gold flask. I took my soup flask back and took another sip. Man, did I love chicken noodle. In the future, I don't want to share my soup with you. The lizard lady crossed her arms. Also, you won't be able to figure that out like that. She huffed a bit before grabbing me by the arm and physically pulled me to my feet. Come on. Come on. I asked as she dragged me out of the room and away from my partially disassembled quantum-driven robot drone thing. And despite what she'd told me, I was really close to figuring it out. Probably. Yes, she sighed. Every time I ask you to help me do things, you're too dumb. She stopped herself. Actually, this is untrue. Like Hudson, you're not dumb, just badly taught, she nodded. So, now you get to do what he is doing. And what is Hudson doing? I inquired as she brought me into a large room that was empty save for the Amorphi priest. Only, he was sitting there with a vague expression on his face, which may have had something to do with the giant robotic squid thing on his head. Its metal tines dug into his skull, and little lights and whatnot pulsed on them. What is Hudson doing? Yes, my voice was higher when I asked the second time, but come the fuck on, right? I took a swig of soup. Yeah, that wasn't going to be strong enough. I hooked him to the knowledge matrix, Sarah von Stupidinator said as she looked at me. It's a learning computer that will take you from your limited level of knowledge to one that is more useful by running you through scenarios at a speed beyond which you'd normally be able to do in this stupid flesh world. She did her stupid head bob nod thing. It is how we train young on my former planet. Okay, I looked at her. Do you want to hook me to that thing? Obviously, Sarah shook her head. Honestly, you're really supposed to be the smart one? She eyed me carefully. You can tell me if it isn't true. And what if I refuse? I asked as I eyed Hudson dubiously. Then not only do you keep wandering around like a monkey smacking things with sticks and flinging your poo, but Hudson will soon be a better engineer than you. Her smugness annoyed me, so I took a swig from the gold flask and felt better. Not a lot better, mind you, but better. So I took another swig. Only that one didn't help a lot. Fine, I waved a hand at the metal squid. Do your mind meldy thing, I glared at her. But if I die, Gara will throw you into the sun. Right, and then resurrect me as an eternal sex slave. Dragon Lady shivered. I am aware. She let out a long breath. Trust me, we'll all be better off if this works. Then she hit a button on a control panel on the wall, which caused a claw to descend from the ceiling like it was in one of those prize machines at the mall. Only in those machines, the claws never caught anything. This one, though, clamped onto my skull with surprising tenderness. And then endorphins started to flood my system. I love you, cold, unfeeling robot arm, I murmured before I drifted off into a daze. Issa, neither cold nor unfeeling. A voice from behind me cooed, and I spun to find myself staring right at the violet-skinned Jam Jam Banks. Only that was impossible because Jam Jam Banks was a fictional character from War of the Stars, and he was an idiot. Misa Jam Jam Banks and Issa will be Yusa guide through this learning experience. He grinned at me, revealing his stupid giant teeth. Then he knocked on his head with a fist. Keep Yusa hands firmly inside this cart. A bright green shopping cart appeared, and he hopped inside before gesturing at me. Come on. I'm going to get on the cart, I said, climbing into said cart, which was as weird as it felt. But if you betray the Empire by casting the deciding vote to remove total control from the Chancellor of Light and give it to the pesky Republic jackasses, I'm going to be very cross. Misa would never do that, he said before sticking his stupidly long tongue out and blowing a raspberry. Now, Tusa the Knowledge Mines. He pulled his arm down a couple of times like a train conductor and we sped off. Which was pretty much when I understood the cart, because it looked like we were headed into an actual mine with whistling working gnomes. If Snow isn't in there, I'm going to be very disappointed, I said as we moved further and further, but Jam Jam didn't reply because he'd somehow been replaced by someone else altogether. Wait, I said as I stared at the man in the white hat. Are you Dan Dimmadam, owner of the Dimmadan Dimmadam? Why, I am Dan Dimmadam, owner of the Dimmadam Dimmadam. He nodded approvingly. And I'll be your guide through this shopping mall of knowledge. He tweaked his mustache and then grabbed hold of the shopping cart as we raced into a parking lot. Only instead of slowing, we headed right for the entrance at breakneck speed. This was a problem because the curb was right there, and by my calculations, we were gaining speed. What are we going to do, Dan Dimmadam? I squealed as I turned toward him, but before he could answer, we hit the curb, and I went flying from the shopping cart straight toward the glass walls of the shopping mall of knowledge. I had half a second to be horrified before the scenery changed completely, which was good, because not only did I not slam face first into a plate glass window, I landed on a rather comfy orange couch. Oddly enough, this new place reminded me of this beautiful little artist studio back home. One of my friends from back on my homeworld of Catlin was a painter. She would paint these jaw-dropping images, these colorful kaleidoscope of colors splashed against a dark backdrop. I would go over there often just to look at those images forever whenever something was stumping me. It was just me in her home, this little nook with just a few photographs up. When the light would come in the early evening and catch it just right, that room would become like a golden hub splashed with bright colors and darkness. It was so many different sorts of emotions mixing together into one messy, beautiful memory. The door began creaking open, an instant before a 9-foot-tall feline creature with ears that looked exactly like mine entered. He moved sleekly and effortlessly across the room towards me. His presence was actually not comforting, but I didn't feel afraid. I felt as though I'd known this person my entire life, probably because I'd been his biggest fan. Nice to meet you, Jody. I'm Felinus. He held out his hand and had a warm smile on his face. I understand this might be a bit of a surprise. He shot me a conciliatory smile.
All of it. I'm sorry about that.
I managed to sort of throw my entire body forward so I could stick out my right hand to shake his. His grip was powerful and confident. This was somebody that knew exactly what he was and what he wanted. Hi, was the response I managed to utter. Do you really make every female pregnant when you touch down somewhere? The moment the words left my lips, I was horrified. I had tried to play it cool and ended up not playing it cool at all. Thankfully, he actually laughed for a few moments, and when he was done, he looked at me with such a comforting expression that I instantly felt at ease again.
Is that what they say about me?
He asked with a laugh.
I suppose maybe we should start by having me ask you what it is that you know about me.
He smirked before adding,
or what you think you know about me.
Well, I guess I had heard that part. The pregnancy thing. I looked at the floor. I also heard that you went out across the universe and conquered the stars. He smiled at me again before replying,
I conquered some stars, but I definitely did not do it by myself. Conquering feels a little vain. Out there in the universe, you aren't the conqueror of anything. We gained some stars would be a more apt description.
He smiled at me again before asking,
And ask yourself this. Are you pregnant, or do you feel pregnant right now?
I guess not, I replied, although I probably wouldn't know that just yet if I actually was or not until I did a test. I looked at him in horror. Wait, you didn't impregnate me, did you?
I can assure you, that part about me is just a myth. Logistically, that's not even a feasible thing or something anybody would want. Of course, a natural part of a species is to want to see it survive, to help it grow and thrive, to expand. But just throwing little ones out there just to do it, that seems like vanity to me.
He walked over and sat down on the bench next to me.
I apologize for the intrusion again, by the way. You see, I am the manifestation of the learning matrix, and it is my job to ensure you get all the knowledge required to do your job. I warn you, though, it will not be easy.
My jaw must have dropped open because he put his hand gently on my shoulder. How is that possible? I asked, suddenly confused. And how is this supposed to work? Pretty much everything I've seen requires math that hasn't even been invented yet, and even if I wanted to understand that math, I wouldn't be able to, because the math needed to understand that uninvented math requires even more math that is yet to be invented.
Fortunately, I don't think math of that level will be required. And what is required is that I teach you.
Felinus smiled at me.
That's my job, after all.
He clapped his hands together.
So, are you ready to learn?